RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
This is RCR. It's Friday morning. Paul Brennan with you. And tomorrow we remember the third anniversary of the no jab, no job vaccine mandate. Ali Cook is joining us now, multi-award-winning musician, activist, mother of a vaccine-injured son, and a regular on Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Hi, Ali. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. That's such sad news about Lindsay Yeo. I remember Lindsay growing up listening on the radio, so that's he was wonderful.
He was. Don't get me going. I might not make it through. I'm a little sad about that, but hey, that's life, right? Okay,
yeah.
And actually, you know, it's kind of what we're here to talk about now, a very sad time in our history. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. It'll go down as one of the worst times in our history. I'll never forget Michael Wood coming on TV and, you know, talking about that too. The kind of like it was just that sudden sinking feeling.
The river of filth guy, as I always labeled him.
But he was the one that spoke about, you know, the compensation you were going to get when you got fired and, you know, the 4 weeks and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like 3 years and another time. Otherwise, it seems like a lifetime ago. But it's good that we have Red Remembrance as a way of not letting people forget, because I think that's the one thing people go, oh, well, COVID's over now. Well, it's not. It's not for those that lost their jobs, and it's not for those like my son who still suffer every day from the results of trying to get a vaccine to or a shot to not lose his job. And unfortunately for people like him, he lost both, because he wouldn't do it to himself a second time after being in an ambulance. They wouldn't give him any chance.
That blows my mind.
And then he lost his job anyway. So he's lost his job and his health in one fell swoop. And it's not over for us, and it won't be, you know.
That blows my mind that they were forcing after they were like falling out of seats and having anaphylactic shocks and I don't know, whatever. They're still...
Yeah, well, he was behind the wheel of a 50-ton truck driving down State Highway. It was found, you know, he rang Healthline and was found draped over the wheel with the lights flashing in the middle of the highway, and they had to, you know, haul him out of the truck. And then he went two more EDs in the following days, and then they expected him to actually get a vaccine,
another one.
And he went, I'm not doing this to myself again. And they went, well, you're terminated.
Mind-blowing. Okay, 3 years is not a very long period of time, but I'm just thinking about it now. It's kind of like, well, I know it happened, but it was so outrageous. It's kind of like, did that happen? Did that actually happen?
Yeah, it is a bit like that. It is surreal, but it's very real when you're in the centre of it. That's really... you know, enforced me as an activist. Really, it's a driving force. But I do it for everybody else as well. So I feel cracks happening though. I got an OIA. Sue Gray and I try to do an OIA every week. You know, asking different questions.
Keep them busy.
We keep them busy, in different directions. And they sent me a link to log on to Health New Zealand as though I was a staff member.
Oh.
And I was like, I clicked on it and I was like, oh, they've sent me this by accident.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, you got to look behind the curtain.
Oh, no, I didn't, because I wrote back to them and said, while you're doing that, can you give me a log on and a password, please?
Oh, right.
Because seeing as you're actually asking me to peer review.
And did they? Or did they wise up to it then?
The email was asking me to peer review my own answers to my own questions, which then told me that they peer review every answer that they give me.
Okay, so it goes through some kind of committee or something, does it?
It goes through a peer review, because I said, can we have peer review on this, please? And it was my OIA number at the top, and I looked it up, and it was the question I'd asked on the number of people under 40 getting referrals to cardiologists. That was the question I wanted from years 20 through to 24.
Oh yeah, I remember chatting about that.
Well, the other one was ED visits. This one's cardiologist referrals, which I don't have the answer to yet. But I had to laugh. They're actually starting to crack and make mistakes like that. You know,
you imagine what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Yeah.
Because they must have been inundated. It never stops. It's like incoming all the time. They have to keep their story straight, I'm picking, through
yeah,
all of
this. Yeah, well, they don't always keep their story straight. And when they don't keep their story straight, and I encourage people, if you want to write an OIA, just look up the government department, look up, you know, Google OIA, government department name, and just do it. Ask them a question, you know, keep reminding them that we've not forgotten what they did to the public. And,
yeah.
You know, and keep getting those answers. Now, Sue Gray and I got some different answers on the number of people seriously vaccine injured and some differences in our answers. So that meant that we could then take our two OIAs with the different answers and go to the ombudsman. And so we've got one ombudsman investigation underway.
Well, we know that the ombudsman has... let's say not too many resources.
No.
And he and the office are probably run off their feet. So good luck with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's just putting it in. It's just keeping the government reminded of what they did to people, you know.
Okay, so tomorrow what happens?
So it's a gathering. So, I mean, I'm going to the Nelson one at 1903 Square. So at 12 o'clock everywhere at all of the different venues. I've got them there in front of me. I don't know whether you wanted me to read them or not. But it's at 12 o'clock in your town. There's towns all over New Zealand that have got it. And people come and speak that were mandated, talk about what's happened since then. There's some music, some musicians come out and sing. And I sung last time. This time I'm speaking.
Right.
So, yeah, at Nelson, and it's at 12 o'clock everywhere.
The interesting thing for me is seeing how this has sort of evolved since all that happened is, first of all, it was total denial. We did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
We had an emergency. No one knew what was going to happen. People in the street in China were collapsing, all that sort of stuff. Now I'm picking that it's slowly morphing into, yeah, mandates were wrong. They were wrong. So that's acceptable to say now.
Yes, it is starting to morph, and it's going to morph a hang of a lot quicker when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gets into those departments and starts cleaning them out. There's huge waves and huge shocks of truth coming, I believe.
Mm.
And it's going to be hard for some people to actually face.
Well, you know how it's going to work, don't you? That's the point I'm making. So now mandates were wrong. Everyone kind of agrees on that. Next, moving to the main event,
we're
going to have to address the vaccines itself and the consequences of physical consequences and mental, obviously, but physical clearly of taking those jabs. That is the big hump in the road to get over, isn't it?
It is the big hump in the road to get over, but the stats are there. Let's face it. You know, it's just. The insanity is that they know the volume of reactions and they've not taken this product off the market. That's unprecedented.
That makes me mad as hell, Ali. That makes me mad as hell. I want to get that Retty guy in here.
Sorry. He's just like, I think you could kind of hang him upside down and shake him by his boots.
Stop it, mate.
Stand him upright.
You're poisoning people, for God's sake. Sorry.
He's just like... I don't know. He's Nowheresville, you know, like he did a beauty this week to Sue. I haven't got it right in front of me, but basically she asked what ongoing information he had been given as advice as the minister on efficacy of the vaccine. And they wrote back and gave her an 18G, which is why we can't answer that.
What?
This is the Minister of Health department.
Still going to pregnant women, isn't it?
I think
it ain't going to turn out well, Shane.
Yeah.
Save yourself now, buddy.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. It's just the guy's like a numpty. He really is. And I'd say it straight to his face. You're a
lot
numpty.
Lot of numpties about, Ali.
Yeah. It's just crazy as. So his was a shocker. That was a total shocker that OIA.
There's him. Sorry, can't leave this one alone.
Yeah.
right at the second, there's him. Where's the frickin' leader of the country?
Oh,
you call yourself a leader?
No, he's just another globalist.
Conehead,
right?
You know, where's your leadership?
There isn't.
It doesn't exist.
No.
Now, Winston has some leadership, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, he sure does.
Here's a prediction. What Muldoon said about Winston in the 80s, first Maori Prime Minister, it's going to happen. I reckon it'll happen.
I think it will. And he, you know, he is full of leadership. And, you know, the phase two inquiry, I was a little bit hesitant about that, whether anything would come of it, because the phase one had, you know, not had vaccine efficacy and safety in the terms and reference. And this one looked a little bit, although it had that in the terms of reference, the phase two, it looked a little bit like they were going to exclude people. But I'm feeling really good about it now.
Well, you saw his comments, did you, regarding the Australian inquiry? He said it was a whitewash and we're not doing that here.
Yeah,
and
well,
he was
pretty strong
about that. I
got all my results back from my petition, because I ran a simultaneous petition for safety and efficacy, got 20,000 signatures on that, because I wanted a Royal Commission into the safety and efficacy, because they'd left the safety and efficacy out of the other one. So that was always my reasoning. And because I wanted for the vaccine injury stories that I would have as evidence to be up on the parliamentary website for people to read, and that they could never say that they didn't know. So that was my whole reason for that petition. I had 1,600 pages, 16 supplementary documents as evidence, including all the Pfizer contracts that have been leaked, all the documents that Pfizer tried to keep secret for 75 years that Aaron Siri got released anyway. So I got my final thing back from Brooke Van Velden to say that she felt that phase two inquiry was going to cover what I wanted anyway. So I sent the links to the 16 documents and my petition and latest evidence to the phase two inquiry to find that they had closed off, because they haven't opened up the phase two inquiry things yet. So I thought, I'll go and find Grant Illingworth, eh? So I actually Googled and found him and wrote him an email. And I had some correspondence back and forth with the chairman of phase two, and I feel really good. His opening line to me was, this is exactly the sort of evidence we want to look at.
Wow. Okay.
So I thought, well, okay.
Yeah.
So if you say that to me, I have a little confidence in you that you're going to look at this like a legal man, which he's, you know, he's.
We've had him on this program before, Grant Illingworth. We're talking
What's
about
that?
The end of. We had Grant Illingworth on this program a while back, talking about end of life legislation.
Yes.
And I thought he was a very, well, obviously, you know, he is who he is, but his thinking was pretty clear.
Yes.
As far as I was concerned. Yeah.
I feel quite confident now after that conversation and that my research has gone in and the latest stuff. And people, if they want to submit to that, I think it opens the phase two on the 28th. So you can put in a submission about what's happened to you as a New Zealander for them, which is great.
Okay, so let's get back to remembrance.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, what do we say? You know, what do we tell future generations? How do we describe what happened here as we remember it? I mean, it's a disaster. It's a tragedy. It's a moral.
Yeah.
It's quite possibly a crime against humanity. I don't see how you can say it's not. I mean, all those things, right?
Yeah. I think I like to think that we would look back at it positively, Paul, and go that it was the time that the public actually woke up and they stood up against authority, and they stood up for the freedom of their children and their grandchildren and the generations beyond. And because this is such a pivotal moment in time, if we allow people to trample over us in this way, we're heading down the path of totalitarianism. And we're not out yet, but certainly the win in the US is a good start.
Yeah.
To unravelling this.
Though Trump was Operation Warp Speed.
He was, but he went in on the 16th. He was advised by bad people. He was surrounded by
Yeah, but he told us
bureaucrats.
He was a genius. And geniuses don't get things wrong, necessarily.
True. But I think this time will be different. I at least hope this time will be different, because I want to see them strip out those agencies.
Do you want to see people in... Do you want to see, sorry to jump in, but time's tight. Do you want to see people in court facing the music on this? And if it involves death, it could involve life-term prison sentences, the way I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I would like to see, and all the way down the food chain. But that food chain starts at the CDC and the FDA, and we and the WHO, and we in New Zealand, Health New Zealand, take their lead from those agencies. So we need those agencies cleaned out for it to catch up
Yeah, but
down here.
hang on, Ali. We knew 6 months in advance there were problems because we were behind slightly, which could have
Yeah.
been an epic advantage for us.
It was an epic advantage because our evidence, and that's why it's so important to gather the OIA evidence out of the government. We are, with Australia, the only places that rolled out this jab before COVID arrived. So, basically, it can't be fobbed off as COVID when people have got conditions. It's harder for them to fob it off. And that's why the heart conditions in the under 40s was so important when they gave me that OIA. They tried to backpedal on that OIA, but unfortunately for them, 2GB in Sydney picked
No,
up
I
on
see
and
that.
asked Queensland and New South Wales
And got
exactly
the
the same thing.
same result.
Same result, same sudden increase in 2021 before COVID took hold. And in New Zealand, that was really April 2022 by the time we saw mass cases. Before that, it was a case here, a case there. But it was a massive increase, a massive upward increase. And those figures are matched in Australia. So, and at least their health minister came on and admitted that some of those people in the increase were most definitely people suffering chest pain
Yeah,
after.
just a little incremental admission at a time.
Tiny little admittal,
Yeah.
but nothing like New Zealand won't do that because Shane Reedy's like a rubber duck that you shake. It's
Well, he
like,
must be
is there a
crapping
human in
himself.
there?
Wink, wink, wink. Quacker duck. I used to be quacker duck. I was talking about that before. When I was in Tauranga, there's a little character we had. He'll be crapping himself, won't he? There'll be people crapping themselves because when this spills, I'm happy to be completely wrong. Please put me out of my misery on that. So that's fine. If everything says, actually, no, nothing happened here and it's provable, okay, all right. I don't think it's going to be that. But there'll be people running for cover everywhere soon, surely.
Yeah, has anyone seen Jacinda since the election?
Well, only being knighted. Oh no, that was before, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was there at the DNC backing Kamala Harris. So, I mean,
Another
she
winner.
doesn't seem to be a Kiwi anymore. She seems to be, I'd be running too. So at least
Yeah.
it's a quick dart to Mexico when it all breaks down and we come for her.
Well, that might even be a problem for her.
Yeah.
I would say because it's easy to feel smug. I mean, I didn't take the vaccine and I was suspicious
Yeah.
from day one. That's just
Neither could
me.
I.
But I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not, a clairvoyant or anything like that. And it's easy to think, well, you're smart, mate. You dodged a bullet and look at all the. No, I don't feel like that anymore. I feel so freaking sorry for all the people who were hoodwinked into it. Not only that, they were put into a way of thinking where they were, and maybe they didn't realize it at the time, where they were prepared to completely isolate. What are the words? Discriminate, all those words against their people, their families, their
Yeah,
family
well, I think
members.
that's one of the hard ones, and I suffered that as well. With friends, I had a number of friends that have been friends for over 30 years that don't speak to me anymore because of my stance, and they've still not come round. I had one musician that removed all the work we'd done together from Spotify because when I went and sung with Jason Kerrison at the Protest, as far as he was concerned, I was, I was bad, I was bad for going there and doing that, and that was it. He couldn't
Yeah.
be associated with me,
But
so he removed all our
you
stuff from
feel sorry
Spotify.
for, I feel sorry for people like that now. I'm not angry.
Yeah.
I just feel sorry that, oh man. Look,
The
if,
interesting thing is I spoke to him for the first time a couple of
oh.
weeks ago because Sharon O'Neill's husband died, Alan, and so
Oh.
I felt because he'd been in the band with
I
me,
love
I
Sharon O'Neill.
So
Just
she's
saying.
going through. I'm going to tell her about Lindsay Yeo today, which
Yeah.
unfortunately will be sad. But she worked there way back in the piece before she got,
Was
before
she
she,
a copywriter?
yes, she was a copywriter there.
Ah,
So I was.
yeah.
She will
In
definitely.
Nelson, right?
She was a copywriter in Nelson, but then she worked in Wellington as well
Well
once she
known,
started
yeah.
doing ads. So yeah, she'll know Lindsay Yeo. So anyway, so I thought I'd ring him up, and it was quite interesting that he sort of said to me, "Oh, I'm really sorry about what happened back then."
Ah, there you go. You see the incrementalism.
You know, I still love you, mate. And I was like, well, it may be back then for you, but my son still suffers pericarditis every day from the vaccine that he took. And he's on permanent medication to keep him out of hospital, and it's not over.
Okay.
It might be over for you, but it's not over for our family. And it was just sort of a bit of a silence, and then, "Oh, I still love you, mate." You know, there was just, it's still like no acknowledgement that your child is damaged.
Yeah, but think about what it takes a person to get to having to say that. It's tough to do. So I guess, again.
It was a step. It was a little step forward, though. I think people are actually realising, hey, we had a point. We weren't just nut jobs, you know. We actually had a point. And more that's going to come out. And then people have to face it. They have to face what they've done to themselves. And that's the biggest thing of all.
Well, that's always been the big problem.
I liken it to when people have got friends that are dying of terminal illness, and I've had this a few times in my life, and they've said, "Oh, the people they thought would be the closest to them walked away and didn't come and see them."
Yeah.
And that's because when your friend is dying, you have to face your own mortality when you're with them.
Right, you want to turn away from it.
And it's the same thing, right? If you face that you put this thing in your body that might possibly bring something on bad for you, means you've got to face you did that.
When you do it to yourself, it's the hardest thing, right, to admit to yourself. All right, is there anywhere people can go, Ali, to see, because you mentioned you got all the venues there.
Auckland, Aotea Square at 2:30, Dunedin, Queen's Gardens, 12 p.m, Christchurch, Bridge of Remembrance at the Avon River at 12, Mount Maunganui, Old Phoenix Car Park, 12 p.m, Te Awamutu, the Anzac Green at 12 p.m, Wellington Civic Theatre, 12 p.m, Blenheim, Seymour Square, 12 p.m, Levin, the Levin Adventure Playground at 12 p.m, 1903 Square in Trafalgar Street, 12 p.m. in Nelson, Golden Bay, the Village Green, Takaka Township, Invercargill, the Pantry, at 133 Grey Street, Wanaka, Dinosaur Lake Front Park, 12 p.m, Hastings, the Library Green Area, Dargaville, corner of Victoria and Hokianga Road, and New Plymouth Robe Street at 12 p.m. There's a list.
All righty then.
Go to nzdsos.com and click on Red Remembrance to get your place if you missed that.
Pass on your regards to our son, son.
Thank you. He's probably listening. He drives down State Highway 1 and he's always listening to Reality Check Radio.
Oh, great. Well, hi there. And next time you're talking with Sharon O'Neill, could you tell her, she won't know who I am, but could you tell her that you're talking to someone and tell her that one of my favourite songs is a song, a Sharon O'Neill song, and it's Danced in the Fire. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. That is my favourite one to sing with her, and it's my favourite Sharon O'Neill song.
I like the song, but I like the story in it, you know?
Oh, it's what happened to her with the legal battle. It's the whole, it's the best song she ever wrote, in my opinion.
And boy, did she come back with that.
She did. Yeah. She did come back.
Pass on regards there. And
I will do. I will do.
Sympathies for the loss of her husband. All right, Ali, thanks for coming on. All right.
Okay. Thank you. See you, Paul.
See you later. Ali Cook on RCR.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio.com/shop.